There is something rotten in the government jobs report this morning.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune in to Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We are starting the day with a disappointing employment report from the government. The American economy created just 74,000 jobs in December. That is way lower than the nearly 200,000 new jobs the experts were predicting as an almost united chorus. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, David.
How seriously should we take this jobs report that's so flummoxed the experts?
Well, that's a very good question. Look, there were some weird weather things going on in December, but the bottom line is this is the report that sets the tone for trading for the month, like it or not.
But if we're trying to get a real picture of the labor market, how much should we factor in the weather in December?
Well, look, it's important. The International Energy Agency said it was the coldest December in 10 years. You look at goods producing employment, manufacturing was weak. Construction was very weak, down 20,000. Those are both industries that are weather sensitive. So, you know, there is some weakness in this report beyond cold weather.
But our newspapers tomorrow morning are going to land with the headline that the unemployment rate is down from 7% to 6.7%. But that's really right about a smaller percentage of a smaller labor force.
It is. It is. 350,000 people stopped looking for work in December. This is a theme. You and I have talked about this all year. It's been ongoing since the recovery began. Discouraged workers, probably the biggest challenge in this economic expansion. A broader measure of unemployment called the U6, which includes discouraged workers and people working part-time for economic reasons, that was unchanged at 13.1%.
Chris Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Okay, Target shoppers. That data breach was worse than first thought. This morning, the company said hackers got into the info of 70 million customers, not 40 million. And in addition to credit and debit card numbers, the company said today that hackers also got personal information like names, addresses, phone numbers, and emails. Marketplace's Dan Weissman is following this. What do we know now?
Not a whole lot beyond the headline. The company's the main source for information so far, and Target added what it's hoping is going to sound like good news. It plans to offer shoppers a year of free credit monitoring. It also says identity theft insurance is going to be part of that package where available. No details on what that means yet, and no details on how to sign up. The company says that'll come next week. Also says customers are going to have 3 months to sign up for that package. And by the way, Target also announced some financial results. No surprise, sales fell sharply right after the data breach was announced, which, you know, was the last week of the holiday shopping season.
Marketplace's Dan Weissman. The store is also revising downward its profit forecast for the current quarter. Target stock is down nearly 0.5% right now. Now let's check some other numbers. The Dow is up about 16 points. In fact, all the three indices are up about 0.1% at the moment. A weak labor market hurts people at the grassroots, of course, but it also has the effect of keeping interest rates down. The 10-year bond yield is down sharply to 2.9% since the job data hit the headlines. From Nebraska to the Mid-Atlantic, people are finding themselves happy this morning for temperatures only in the 20s after the really Arctic craziness of recent days. One weather forecaster who does longer-range forecasting for industries told us that he thinks it's likely that more polar blasts will come before the first green shoots of spring. For farmers, this has been a tough 2 weeks, and one man who knows is the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack. Mr. Secretary, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm first thinking of something like winter wheat, right?
Well, winter wheat does get impacted and affected, but your first thoughts, I think, are to folks who are producing specialty crops in some parts of the country. They may not have had sub-zero weather, but they may have had colder weather than expected, and it may have some impact a bit on specialty crops.
Specialty crops that are affected by this cold, like what?
Fruits and vegetables. So we're keeping an eye on that. I'm deeply concerned about livestock producers because sub-zero weather creates very serious difficulties for livestock. It sort of underscores the necessity of having programs in place at USDA to provide financial assistance to those producers who are negatively impacted by the weather. Unfortunately, right now, we're waiting for Congress to finish its work on the Farm Bill, which would provide us those tools. We don't have them today.
Yeah, but every 6 months you and I talk, and there's still no Farm Bill. I'm aware of that. Can the government help at all in this interim stage, given this cold weather?
The only thing we can do is to provide disaster assistance loans to producers, but those aren't particularly helpful at a time when you're faced with a total loss or a significant loss. And the reality is that we could help them with the disaster programs that were in place a couple of years ago, but to do that, they have to be restored, and that won't happen until we have a farm bill.
Now, we've been talking about the farmers, but also all consumers will be watching this. I assume the cold will end up reflected in retail food prices.
Well, to the extent that you have less production, that could create some impact on prices. I wouldn't imagine that those impacts will be all that significant. What's more significant is the uncertainty that producers have in terms of what the programs are going to be in the future. Farming is obviously a risky business. If you don't reduce the risk, then producers will go out of business, will begin having to depend on people outside the United States for the production of our food, which creates an additional risk and potentially an additional cost to consumers. We have great access and we have great affordability in large part because we keep people in the business of farming. And that's why a farm bill is important, not just to producers, but also to consumers.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is the former governor of Iowa. Mr. Secretary, thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
And does charging a few extra bits to use a plastic bag at the grocery cut down on plastic bags in the environment? Independent research says that bag taxes work for Washington, D.C., but the Washington Post has a question. If fewer people are using plastic bags now, how come the D.C. government keeps generating more than $150,000 each and every month in revenue from all the nickels for the bags? This implies bag purchases are steady, not going down. In Rwanda, I remember that they take this a step further. Authorities who catch you with banned plastic bags have been known to confiscate your groceries. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.